Well, good morning. It's wonderful to see each and every one of you here this morning. Jake, I want to remind you that in your bulletin there are a ton of announcements. Lots and lots of things in there for you to look at. Just want to remind you each week to look through all of those announcements. We're not going to go over all of them here in the service. It'll just take too long. But I do want to highlight one for you. In the announcement, it says that you're invited to the wedding of Autumn and Mark, December 16th. You are still invited. The difference is the time has changed. So in the bulletin, it says 1 o'clock, and it will be at 2. You are still welcome. We'd love to have you. But just if you come at 1, that's fine. You just sit around for an hour. But the service itself will start at 2. And just wanted to remind you, on the back of your bulletin, there are instructions for how to give. And in America, the way that the American church is set up basically that the people that are involved in the church, the way that the structure of it is that if they give their 10% of their tithe to the church, that's kind of how the church functions. So just wanted to remind you, if you call Redeemer your home, if this is the church, whether you're a member or just a regular attender, just want to encourage you to give generously. And the methodology or the ways that you can do that are listed in the back of the bulletin. And those are ways you can do that online as well as do that in person. So that's all the announcements that I have for you this morning. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you in a place inside, away from the elements, away from the cold. Lord, I do just pray that you would help us this morning as we interact with each other, that we would be drawn closer into a relationship with you as our Heavenly Father. And I pray that you would cause us to also be drawn into a more intimate relationship with the people around us. We do love you, and we pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Why don't we stand to our feet and begin worship together?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let it heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. Let fields, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. The world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, wonders of his love, wonders, wonders of his love. Joy. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven, heaven and nature sing.
Well, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, I hope that you've had a peaceful week, and if not, I hope that right now you can find some peace in the Lord this morning. All right, everybody, let's find our way back to our seats. Please remain standing. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning, church. Advent is the season of reflective preparation for the celebration of the first coming of Christ at Christmas and the expectant return of Christ at his second coming. It's a tradition in early century Europe and has been widely practiced by believers around the world to this day. The second candle, reminds us that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came to bring us spiritual peace. Peace begins with a right relationship with God, and it continues to fill us as we focus on His strength and trust Him. I'll be reading Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. One calling. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Lord, I lift your name on. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show. Angels we have heard on high, sweet to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
Your feet, and we would realize that ultimately you are in control, and we can trust you. Sometimes things don't look that way, but God, I pray that we would focus on that this morning, and that you would instill that in our hearts, and that we would go to one another and help encourage one another. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
You know, I never understood why we associate peace with Christmas. That's always been a struggle for me. You know, we got the peace. It's one of the Advent things, but it's the association of peace with Christmas is it's been going on for a long time. But I never understood why peace, because my Christmas season is never peaceful, like never. Online shopping has revolutionized the whole world. I get it. But I remember going into stores, even if you're just going in for like milk, and you go into stores in the Christmas season and it's total chaos. You're going into the parking lot and there's no spots, and then one spot opens and 40 people in their cars descend on that one spot to try to get in there. It's total chaos. And then you go into the store and there's people everywhere. You're fighting I just need the milk. And I'm just going fighting for people, and you get there and everything's in disarray. And you finally get your product, and you head back to the checkout line, and you're waiting in line forever. And it's not peaceful. There's a lot of things about the Christmas season that aren't peaceful. On the way home from church last night, I drove by the Arboretum, and maybe you don't know, but they have this Christmas lights thing in the middle of the night or in the evening when it gets dark. And there's like cars on the road trying to get in. The people who got stuck in line, and they're trying to get out of line. And there's a guy with a little baton waving people everywhere. And I'm like, this is crazy. What is going on? This is Christmas. It's supposed to be peaceful. But for the most part, Christmas really isn't that peaceful. And part of that has to do with the fact that the peace that we celebrate in Christmas is not really related to the traditions that we hold. But we live in a cult, we live around people that struggle to find peace. It's hard to understand even what peace means, but then in order to be able to wrap our hands around it and experience some level of peace is not something that people in our culture normally find. And worse, as the Christmas season rolls around, it's even harder to find peace. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to us. You have entered into a personal relationship with God through Christ, then you are a believer. And God is calling you to a peace. But just because he's called you to that doesn't mean you experience it. So this morning, as we talk about this peace, I want to kind of beckon you into that a little bit, and I think you'll see that as we look at the passage we're going to look at this morning. But if you are here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, you will never find peace. You will find yourself wandering around looking for peace, and you will never find it. Because truly, ultimate peace is only found in a relationship with the Lord. Now, we who are believers, we probably need to do a better job in demonstrating to them like, because some of us are wound up a little too tight, myself included. And so this morning, what I want to talk to you is about how do we find peace? How do we find peace? Not just peace in the Christmas season, but how do we find peace totally in the rest of our lives? How do we find real, true, lasting peace? And we're going to look at a couple of verses in the book of John. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to John. And to his disciples, he's gathered them together. And he's talking to them about something that is coming. Some tribulations are coming their way. A pretty big tribulation. Jesus is going to be arrested and he's going to be crucified and it's going to turn their whole world upside down. And so he's beginning before it happens. He's talking to them about how to find peace, how to find real peace. And he gives them some instruction here that I think a lot of them overlooked it completely. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to slow us down and I say, hey, this is what Jesus is saying here, and I want to talk to you about how that applies to your own life. And one of the things that we're going to see is that the gift of peace is with Jesus. There is an intimate relationship that Jesus had with his disciples, and that you and I can have a similar relationship with him. And that's the path, that is the gift of peace. But then he explains that the gift of peace is when Christ warms us up to what he's doing. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then the last part is then when we watch Jesus' example is how we can experience peace. So turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16. We're going to be in verses 31 to 33 this morning. John chapter 16, verses 31 to 33. And Jesus is approaching his disciples in verse 31 and 32. And he's talking to them, and they have just communicated to Jesus, Jesus, we get it. We believe you. You are from God. And so Jesus hears this, and in many respects, I'm sure he was encouraged. But then he also knew what was coming. And so it sounds a little bit like Jesus is being rough with them here, but I don't think that. I think what Jesus is saying is, you get it, but you're not there yet. You understand who I am. You understand that I've come to you from the Father. You get it. But you're not there yet. And so he says in verse 31, he says, Jesus said, do you finally believe? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's now here. It's here now. When you will be scattered in your own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. What Jesus is demonstrating to them here is that in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering, what you need is to be with Jesus. And the disciples came to this conversation and thought, we're good. We finally understand this. And Jesus said right off the bat, do you finally believe? It's a thought-provoking question. He acknowledges that you guys understand what it means to believe, but he just wants them to understand you're not there yet. He says, do you finally believe? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. And this is just a fancy way of saying, in a couple of days, this is what's coming. He says, in a couple of days, then you will be scattered and going his own way. And indeed, this is what happens in a couple of days. Jesus is in the garden, and he's getting arrested by a mob. And each of the disciples that were with him scattered. They ran. Now, in the disciples' mind, they don't know about this yet. We know about it. But they don't know about this. So Jesus is saying, pretty soon, you scatter, and you're going to leave me all alone. In the reality, Jesus is going to be in the garden, and he's going to be all alone. All of his followers, all of his disciples have scattered. And what he's beginning to do is he's beginning to point to what's going on inside of their thinking. He's saying, what's going to happen is adversity is going to come, and you're going to leave me. I am the source of help for you, and you're going to leave me. You get it, but you don't got it yet. You understand, but you're not there yet. said, in a few days, you will all leave me. And I will be by, I will, leaving me alone. And then he finishes that verse and he says, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. And so he paints a picture of what the disciples will do. Well, they will leave him. They will leave the source of help that they need. Then he begins to give them a positive of it. He says, but I will not be alone because the Father will be with me. And in the midst of trials, in the midst of adversity, Jesus is demonstrating that what they need is to be with the Lord, to be with Jesus. And although they won't get it right, Jesus is demonstrating this is the truth. This is what you need to hear. That in the midst of difficulty, trials, you need to be with me. And that's the picture that Jesus is painting for them. He's trying to get them to understand that in the midst of trials, what they really need is him. And that is how they will have peace. Peace will come when they're with Jesus. This past week, I had an opportunity to, this past couple weeks, I've been working on something where this has been demonstrated, where this has played itself out. We've been trying to sell some things around the building here that nobody's used, old equipment that nobody's using. We've been selling it, and it's been kind of a rush, to be honest. I don't know a lot about how to sell things on Facebook Marketplace, so I just was kind of like trying to figure things out and talking to people and researching and putting stuff out there. And all the way, all along the way, I'm praying to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, you got to help me with this because I don't know what I'm doing. And then, you know, you get contacted by people, and there's all these dangerous people out there. So I'm like, Lord, I don't know who, you know, who am I supposed to believe is going on? So, Lord, you got to help me with all this. And then, Lord, I don't know how to do this. So you got to help me get this, pull this off and make this happen. So we had a lot of conversations. And so we've sold a couple of things. And it was so, at the end of it, I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. The Lord, I prayed about it, and the Lord helped me with it. And it kind of worked out. And it was kind of a fun type of a thing because I felt like I was doing it with the Lord. It was kind of fun. And then something happened. We did, just because the things have gotten pretty busy around here, so I haven't listed anything, or there's nothing really listed. I said, you know, that's kind of weird. I kind of missed that working with the Lord sense. I kind of missed that dynamic of praying like several times a day the Lord would help with something, and then it's not there anymore. I said, you know, I kind of missed that. And that's the flavor that the Lord is trying to communicate to the disciples here. Peace will come when you're doing things with me. And they won't get that, but they will learn it later on. Peace is a gift that comes, but it's when we understand we have to do it with Jesus. Now, this is a hard thing for us to look at in ourselves. It's hard for us to look inside of ourselves and say, okay, am I really doing life with Jesus? It's a very difficult thing to figure out. It's a very difficult thing to ask yourself and say, okay, am I really doing it? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm praying about things. So we're working together. Hard to check this, to check yourself on this, but I think I have a way that might help you figure it out. What I want you to do in your mind, I want you to think back, what is the last time, or what is the thing that you last prayed to the Lord really about? Think back in your own experience. What is the thing that you most recently asked the Lord about? Not just like, hey, Lord, take care of this, but like, what is it, something that you really, really wanted, something that you were really, really praying? What was that thing you were praying about? And get that in your head, and here's what I want you to do, is I want you to ask yourself a question. How did you approach what you asked the Lord to do? Did you ask him was it kind of a shove off? Like, Lord, here's this issue, take care of it. Or did you say, Lord, this is my issue, help me with it? It's not about being critical that you're doing it the wrong way. That's not the point. The point is, what is your perspective? Are you, if you've got something in your life that you're worried about, did you hand it off to the Lord and you say, Lord, just take care of this? Almost like a giving God the order, your order at a restaurant. Like, God, take care of this. Or were you kind of inviting him into the situation and says, Lord, I need your help. And when you begin to look at those things and you look at it that way, you can, am I really a person who's working with what the Lord is doing? Or am I having a conversation with God and asking God to do things, but not necessarily really working with him? And again, the point is not to make you feel guilty. That's not the point. The point is to get you to start thinking through the process of the idea that sometimes things are done in a way where they shouldn't be done, but maybe we need to do them differently. Well, the first thing we see is that the gift of peace is with Jesus. But then he goes on and he explains that the gift of peace is with the warm-up by Jesus. Look with me at verse 33. It's the first part of verse 33. It says this, "I have told you all this that you may have peace in me." He says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me." Tricky concept. Because what Jesus is telling his disciples is, I've told you this, that in a few days, you are going to abandon me. He says, I'm telling you this. And a lot of people take this to be something further because it doesn't make sense. Why would Jesus say he's doing this to them? He goes on to, I told you this, all this, so that, here's the purpose, here's the reason. I have told you all this so that you may have peace. As the conversation is going, Jesus is telling them, I'm telling you that in a few days you are going to abandon me. And I'm telling you this so that you will have peace. And you will have peace in me. Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus tell them, hey, you all are about to abandon me. And I'm telling you this so you will have peace. And here's what I think Jesus is doing. He's saying, I know what you're going to do, and I'm still okay with you. A few days from now, and I'm okay with you. I'm actually still helping you. In the midst of this, in a few days from now, you guys are all going to abandon me in a time of need, and I'm okay with you still. And when they understand that a few days later, when they really truly understand that Jesus knew what they were going to do even before they did it, and he still loved them, that would be something that would give them peace. They would be people who could look back at the situation and say, Jesus knew what we were going to do, and he still loved us. That is peace. When peace, when the Lord, when Jesus works in our life and he prepares us for something that he knows coming that we don't know, it gives us peace. Because we're like, hey, the Lord's got this. He's in control. I'm going to tell you a story. This is a true story. And I know, because I've told a lot of different stories, and I know that every once in a while, I'm going to tell you a story that is not believable. I understand this one is not believable, but I'm telling you, this happened. Happened on Monday. Okay? So just, I know this sounds unbelievable, but it actually really did happen. So, I'm sitting in my office. Mondays are tough for me. Mondays are tough for a lot of pastors. Just this particular Monday happened to be a little bit more less fun than others. A couple of things like, this is terrible. I'm frustrated, blah, 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 whatever. So I was just frustrated. Sitting in my office, I'm like, this is just no fun. What's going on? I'm just complaining to the Lord. Lord, what are you doing? And he's like, I got an idea for you. Pray for something. Pray for $10,000 to come in when you get the report later today, this morning. And I'm telling you, this was not me, because I would never, where would $10,000 go? I have no idea. We get a report that tells us people that have given what they've given over the past week. And I just like, okay, Lord, I got nothing to lose here. Okay, Lord, please just make $10,000 come in. I just went on my day, and an hour later, we got the report that came through, and we had a fairly substantial gift that came in and was recorded on Monday. There was no way for me to know that that gift was coming. No possible way. Not that the money came in. That was not the encouragement. The encouragement for me was that the Lord sat me down and he said, pray about this. And after I got the report, I just sat there in my chair and I'm just like, I just can't believe what just happened. I cannot believe what just happened. Not that the money came in, which is a gracious thing, which is a wonderful thing. That's great. but that the Lord told me in advance to do something to get ready for it. And at that moment, I felt peace. Because no matter what I was worried about on a Monday morning, no matter what was going on, the Lord was orienting me to say, hey, I got this. I know stuff that's going on that you don't even know about. Trust me, I got this. And that brought a sense of peace. And that's what Jesus was doing with the disciples here. Jesus was talking through with the disciples and say, listen, I know what you're going to do. And I'm prepared. I've got this. You can have peace in me. And the challenge for us and the challenge for you, I believe, is that we need to be in a position to do the things that we need to do so that we can see God working. It's a famous old Wayne Gretzky line. Some of you may have heard this, some of you may not. I'm going to see how many of you can recall this. But Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 1% of the shots that you never take. Good. So a couple of Wayne Gretzky fans. He said, you miss 100% of the shots that you never take. Now, he's a hockey player, so he was trying to encourage whoever was listening to shoot on the goal and blah, blah, blah. That's what it was about. But he makes a point. And his point is that if you don't even shoot on the goal, there's no possibility that you're ever going to make. And so I want to tweak that a little bit, and I'm going to say, you miss 100% of the prayers that you never make. Now, I am not saying you miss the goods that you were praying about. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you miss the goods. You're praying for a Maserati, and then you're not going to get it because you're not. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is miss the atmosphere and the things that the Lord is doing in the midst of your prayer to Him. You miss that if you're not praying. So I want to challenge you to begin to think through the process of let's start praying. Some of you are great prayer warriors. I get it. I understand. Some of you guys are doing a great job. But a lot of us are hanging on the sidelines and we're praying. We have a prayer time and we call the pastic prayers. Hey, God, do this. Hey, God, do this. Hey, God, do this. But we're missing out on the opportunity to be motivated by God to pray for someone and then to pray for them and to see what the Lord does in it. We're missing out on the whole picture of what prayer is about. So my challenge for you is going to be to pray about something, and I'll give you what it is I want you to pray about in a minute. But what Jesus is saying here is that he's saying that the gift of peace is in the warm-up. When Jesus warms us up to what he's doing, we get an image in our head, everything's going to be okay, because the Lord is working. The Lord is working in this situation. So how do we find peace? First, we find peace by understanding we have to be with Jesus, working with him. Whatever he's doing, working with him. Around saying we are in a relationship with Jesus, but actually working with him. The second part is we've got to put ourselves in a position where we can be warmed up by what the Lord is doing in our life. And the third thing is by watching Jesus. The last part of 33, Jesus says, listen, I'm giving you an example. I'm showing you how to do this. Last part of verse 33 says this, here on earth, you will have many, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. He's talking to his disciples here, and he's saying, here on earth, referring to the time period from then until the time period when they die, their body dies, until that time period, until the time when they are resurrected, until that time, you will have many trials and sorrows. Now, necessarily saying that every single person who is a believer will always have trials and sorrows. That isn't what he's saying. Jesus was talking to them specifically. And he says, you, until the time you die, you will have many trials and sorrows. And history tells us Jesus was telling the truth. Most of the disciples were killed for their faith. Some of them were tortured. This was a tough time to be a believer. And Jesus was telling them, hey, before you die, you're going to experience trials and sorrows. He says, but take heart, Be encouraged. Be courageous. Because I have overcome the world. Now, the verb here, overcome, is in the perfect tense. I'm not trying to give you a Greek lesson here. I'm just trying to help you understand. It's hard to translate the perfect tense into English. Because what the perfect tense means is it's completed. Sometimes it refers to, but often it just means that the action is done. Even if it hasn't been done yet, it's done. It's so sure it's done. And a better way to probably translate this all would be very confusing if you're just reading it, is just says, Jesus saying, I overcome. This is what I do. I overcome. I've overcome things in the past, especially his temptation with Satan. Yeah, I overcame that. Because I'm overcoming. And he will overcome the world when he is crucified and he's raised from the dead. This is how he does things. He overcomes. This is what Jesus does. And the point within the context here is to demonstrate that to his disciples, listen, I've left you an example. Look at my life. I overcome the world. And as you go through your trials, as you go through your sorrows, I'm leaving you an example that of what it means to overcome. Had an experience of this last week. We had an event here yesterday, the women's, almost called it Mary Mugs with Monty, sorry. But anyways, we had an event here which was called Carols with Rebecca Carroll. And it was a women's event. It was really cool. And leading up to it, I was visiting with some people that we were planning it. And we talked about how many should we plan for in this event. And I said 100. Let's plan for 100. And so the ladies who were there, they'll remain nameless, both of them just about had a heart attack. I mean, just right about there, they were just about had a heart attack. Like I've seen fear in my life, but I've never seen this kind of fear in a person. I was like, and they were like, 100? No way. Like, it was great. So they were panicked. And so then I from that point on, I'm just like, I'm just going to say, let's just plan for 100. 100 people didn't show up, but I was having fun with it. So I was just like, so I think we should plan for 100, you know, and heart attack, you know, and it was just fun. So we were doing that. So all along, and then as we started getting closer to it, I started praying. I say, okay, Lord, let's try to get 100 people here. Let me pray about this. And so I started praying, Lord, bring us 100, Lord, bring us 100, bring us 100, bring us 100. So I started praying about it. And then after a while, I started feeling a little bit guilty about that. I'm like, Pastor Forrest, come on. It's not going to be 100. Our fellowship hall probably won't fit 100. People signed up, and it's probably going to be around 50 or 60 people here. So there's no way there's going to be 100. Why are you praying for such a crazy thing? In the back of my head, I remembered. Jesus, at a very, very tricky time in his life, prayed for something that he knew wasn't going to happen. He said, Father, if it's possible, may this cup pass. And what he was asking God to do was make it so that he wouldn't have to go to the cross. No, Jesus knew all along. That's what he was doing. That's why he came. He was doing that. That was, why did Jesus pray for something that he knew wasn't going to happen? Why would he do that? And I said, well, I'm just going to keep praying for this. I'm just going to keep praying for this, praying for 100. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's possible or not. I'm just going to keep praying. So I kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. Well, as the week went on, as it got closer and closer, a lot of enthusiasm. If you were there yesterday, it was really a lot of fun. A lot of people had a really good day. And whenever something like that happens, there's something inside of Pastor Forrest that loves to say, you're welcome. You're welcome. You know? But the thing was, is as we were working through that, I realized, no, I was praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, bring 100. But I was in the right perspective because I was saying, this is your activity. You want to bring. You do, you do, you do. And I didn't need to take credit for it. I didn't need to because it was the Lord's activity. And in the process of praying for something that was impossible or virtually impossible, it caused me to do something which I needed to do, which was take the emphasis off of me and put it on the Lord. And although in a way it seemed a little bit illogical, why would you pray for 100? Why would you do that? But it kept me in the right perspective. And that is the thing that I want to encourage us to do, is we need to follow Jesus' example. Jesus told his disciples, you got bad stuff coming. but I'm leaving you an example of how to handle it. And that's what they needed to do. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is I'm going to encourage you as we're moving, give you something a little bit to pray about, but I want to ask you to commit to pray for something to happen before Christmas Eve here. I'm going to ask you to commit to pray for that. And the reason that I'm going to ask you to pray for that is simple. What I'm actually asking you to do is to do something that you probably know you should do anyways. And whether or not whatever it is that we pray about happens, that's incidental. The important thing is that we're doing what we're supposed to do and we're praying about it. And it may not happen or it may happen, but whatever it is we're praying about is going to cause us to remember it's not on us. We need the Lord's help with what we're doing. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do, pray about here in a minute. What we've been talking about is how do we find peace in the midst. And the first thing that I really want to challenge you to do, you got to understand that the gift of peace comes with Jesus. It's with Jesus. You got to work with him. If you're in a relationship with him, but you guys have grown distant, you're not working with Jesus. I challenge you to do it with Jesus. The second thing is the gift of joy comes from being warmed up by him to get us ready for what's going on. Is watching his example. Some people will, you may not know this about me. Some people know it, some people don't. I am not the one in our house that buys gifts around Christmas. I don't. I don't buy the gifts at all. Part of it is that Christmas is a really busy time of the year. Plus, I'm wrapping up my, I'm making excuses, but I'm wrapping up my semester. So I just don't buy the gifts. And my wife is, generally speaking, an amazing gifter. Like, she just, boop, that's what they need. And they get it, and they're like, oh, this is awesome. And she's just good at it. So it's good for me not to do it. So I just don't buy gifts. And sometimes I don't even get a gift for her. I'm really bad, I know. I'm sorry. But anyway, but this year is going to be different. This year is different. So I just stumbled upon it. And I'm not even going to tell you what the gift was, but I stumbled upon it. It is the perfect Christmas gift for my wife. Could not have nailed it any better. Perfect. And so I'm researching it. I'm checking into this. I'm like, this is really cool. I'm really having a lot of fun picking out Christmas gifts. And then I thought, that's kind of what we're doing here. Like, it's hard for me sometimes to get into the Christmas spirit because I don't buy any gifts. But when I saw this gift, I got so excited about it. This is going to be awesome. And then it welled up within me, Christmas spirit. And that's what I'm challenging you to do this morning and between now and Christmas Eve. I'm going to challenge you to do something. And I want you to understand that what I'm challenging you to do may or may not actually be something that needs to be what we're doing. It's not about what is the result. It's about the process of doing it and what that wells up within each relationship with the Lord. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to commit every day between now and Christmas Eve to pray that the Lord will bring 150 people into the sanctuary for our Christmas Eve service. All I'm going to ask you to do is pray between now and Christmas Eve every day that the Lord will bring 150 people into our Christmas. It's not about 150 people showing up. It's about the fact that all of my family isn't going to be here. So there's only going to be, I have to find a way to get myself in a place to do something that only God can do. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to challenge you to pray over the next 2 weeks for the Lord to bring 150 people into this place for our Christmas Eve service. And the objective is not that we have 150 people here. The objective is for us to pray that the Lord will use us to bring something cool to happen. So I'm challenging you, each of you, over the next two weeks, we'll have two services on Christmas Eve, Sunday morning, we'll have a normal Christmas service, morning service, and then in the evening, we'll have a Christmas Eve service. I'm just challenging you, over the next 2 weeks, every day, pray that the Lord will bring 100 to our church for a Christmas Eve service. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to read in your word, to be challenged about how to think differently, how to act differently, how to process differently the challenges that we face. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this season to understand how pure and lasting peace. By doing the things that you've called the disciples to do, by doing them ourselves, by learning to live with you, allowing ourselves to be in a position to be warmed up by you, and by watching how you do things. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be careful to do those things over the next 2 weeks. Pray each and every day for our Christmas Eve service. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing one more time before we leave today.
God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.